Welcome to the Occult London Podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as other topics. In this new series, we will be exploring the symbolism and mysteries of the tarot trumps in relation to the Western mystery tradition. Each week, we will be looking at different tarot card. These are meant to be short introductions, so it will not be an exhaustive examination of them, but rather a taster to get you started and thinking about it. If you like the podcast, please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. And you can also find us on YouTube at Occult London Podcast. In this episode, we will be exploring the tarot card, the Empress, on the Tree of Life. And we'll go through the key correspondences from Greer, which discuss this particular card to begin with. So, the letter of the path is Daleth, which is door. The name of God is Jehovah Zabaoth, or Tetragrammaton Zabaoth. The astrological correspondence is Venus. The tarot correspondence is obviously the trump of the Empress. The esoteric title is Daughter of the Mighty Ones. The path text is the 14th path is the illuminating intelligence and is so called because it is that which is brilliance, which is the founder of the concealed and fundamental ideas of holiness and their stages of preparation. The mythological principle is the marriage of heaven and earth. The experience of the path is images of the natural world and of the riches of nature, images of polarity and sexuality, star and zodiac symbolism. Entities of the path are the goddess and the god. The magical image is an arch of emerald green bearing the letter Daleth in brilliant white on its keystone. Colours of the path: in Atzeluth is emerald green, in Bria is sky blue, in Yetzirah is pale spring green, and Aziah is bright rose or cerise rayed with pale green. So we'll now move on to discussing some of the key attributes of this path from a Kabbalistic perspective. So as we descend the Tree of Life from Keter towards Melkut, one of the first paths that we come to on the supernal triad is the 14th path of Daleth, which is this path on the Empress. This is important because obviously it forms the third arm of the supernal triad, so is vitally important when we consider the spiritual forces that are represented by this top triad above the abyss. This is the highest of the three reciprocal paths because it balances out the energies of Bina, which is the highest power of water, and obviously Chokhmah, which is the highest power of fire. So in this sense, it is like part of a giant steam engine, but also the kind of theurgical practice of purification of consecration. So the Divine Mother is united to the Divine Father, and the meeting point is Dart. Paul Clark says the following, which is very relevant here in terms of this. Purification means literally to make pure, and uses the symbol of water to represent the mind stuff. That is why in the ceremonies of the Western esoteric orders, we use the phrase purify by water. We purify or cleanse the channels of our consciousness through the images we hold in our mind stuff. We control that instrument via the laws of suggestion, response, and inner causation. To consecrate means with sacredness or holiness. This refers to the act of aligning with the Holy Spirit, symbolized by fire. This power is not subject to our personal control. We may only become vehicles for its will. In recognition of this fact, we declare in ceremonial that we consecrate with fire. And that's an excerpt from Paul Clark's The Hermetic Kabbalah. Other things that we can talk about. So obviously the concept of a doorway, brings up various different connotations. Obviously, we emerge from the doorway when we are born. So we emerge from the doorway that is the womb. Obviously, life exists before the womb and obviously goes on after the womb. As Paul Foster Case says, "Before Abraham I was, and when worlds are but a memory, I shall be." And that's from the Book of Tokens. Daleth is a gateway, obviously, into that world, into the next life, and obviously shows us one of the kind of paradoxes of the Kabbalah from that point of view. The Empress is pregnant and sat on a throne, and you can see this in some cards. The Rider-Waite, for instance, it looks like she is pregnant. Some of the others don't always represent that. She wears a necklace of seven pearls, which some people say represents the awakening of the chakras, but they're also sacred to the goddess Venus. So seven is the number of Netzach. The path is also meant to hold the secrets of the creative process through the use of the creative imagination. So this relates to the idea that images held in our consciousness form the matrix or basis for reality. We create our reality on a moment-to-moment basis through the images we habitually hold and choose to energize with our desired force. So that's a nice quote. I'm not sure who actually did that, but it's worth looking up. Paul Case, in his early books, also links the path of the Empress with copper, which is also connected to the word nekash in Hebrew, which adds up to 358, which is part of the Fibonacci sequence. And nekash also means serpent, but also the serpent power of the Kundalini. And it is also the value of Messiah or Messiah, anointed one. So therefore, this could be seen as a kind of gateway to the Messiah, so Daleth. Some of the symbols within the actual image itself as well. So the Venus symbol within the heart. This is a symbol of the planet Venus, representative of love. Venus is also representative of Hathor. So this also links this path with the creative energy of the path of the tower. The wheat sheaf also has long time been representative of initiation and the many coming from the few. It is a kind of gold of corn that dies and reborn, so represents Osiris and the initiation cycle. And also is also represented by in the background with the cypress trees. The throne that the Empress sits upon. So one of the titles of Bina is the throne. So this indicates the position of the path connecting Bina and Chochmah. The star crown. This is quite interesting as she's wearing the stars, which are obviously a symbol of Chochmah. So it could be said that the Empress represents a kind of intermediary agency between the two. There's a reference in Revelations 12:1. "And a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars." And this is also similar to the Song of Solomon when he says, "Who is this who shines like the dawn, as fair as the moon, as bright as the sun, as majestic as the stars in procession?" So this could also be a reference to the link with Chochmah and Bina as also being in her title of Daughter of the Mighty Ones. the scepter she holds in her hands obviously is a representation of royalty and rulership, but also obviously the divine feminine, fertility, growth energy, in terms of the nature and the fecundity of the imagery. As we mentioned before, the Hebrew letter of the path is Daleth, which is door. This could also kind of symbolically be a title of Dart. So this path can also be seen as kind of a reflection of death, and that is a gateway through to the vine, but also a gateway through to the lower realms. The door idea can also be seen as, the, as we said previously, the womb or the doorway into life. So that's pretty much kind of wraps it up from that perspective. I'd like to finish with a quote from Paul Foster Case, which I think is relevant. Psychologically, the Empress represents subconsciousness as the mother of ideas, the generatrix of mental images. The power by which she works is the power of subdividing seed ideas, derived from seed consciousness. This is the power of deductive reasoning. The apparent multiplication of images is really the splitting up of the seed ideas into manifold presentations. This is symbolized by the multiplication of the original seed in the wheat ears at her feet. She is called the Empress because subconsciousness has control over all sequences of development in the material world. Occult science declares that this control extends even to the material mineral kingdom, so that adepts in the direction of subconsciousness by suggestion are able to affect transformations even in the organic world by purely mental means. The particular mental function peculiar to subconsciousness is imagination. And that's Paul Foster Case in his book, The Tarot. That's all we've got time for. Thanks very much for joining us this week on the Occult London podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk. Hope to speak to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.